Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here with another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. Obviously, you can see that I am Joe-less today. However, I have Brittany Carter from Changeover Media with us today. Everybody, give us a warm welcome for Brittany. Britt, how are you doing?
Hi, doing pretty good. Out here in Southern Oregon, enjoying the sunshine, the nice hot weather.
I do love me some Southern Oregon. That's one of my beautiful. Best times going out there to Tillamook, been out to the coast. Go out to the Goondocks.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
All right. Love the Goondock. Well, listen, I brought you here today because I really wanted to have a conversation. We spent a lot of time talking about marketing and branding. Social media is obviously a large contingent of that. And a lot of our episodes have focused on people that are utilizing those platforms. But we have talked a lot about is AI, artificial intelligence, and a lot of the different platforms are out there. And I think it's just another level of technology to a degree that just scares the hell out of people. That they don't look at it the right way from a leverage contingency. Like, how can I utilize, embrace this in a way that can make, you know, for lack of a better term, an impact on what's going on in my business? So before we jump in, I'm just going to give everybody a little bit of a background about you and, you know, why you're the person bringing and kind of talk to this.
Yeah, so I am the creative director at Changeover Media. We're a video production company specializing in video marketing, helping people tell their stories, tell their brand story, things like that. For us with AI, it's become a huge tool and a huge advantage to us, just speeds up our workflow. We've been able to use it in pretty much everything that we do, from creating social media captions to creating imagery to writing entire scripts and interview questions and storyboards. There's really not a whole lot of limits to what you can do with it. It's a tool, and it's a tool to utilize just like anything else. I think that's something a lot of people get hung up with, with AI, is there's a lot of fear around, oh, AI is going to do this and it's going to do this. But I think at the end of the day, it's a tool just like anything else. And, the quicker we can learn to utilize that, and use it to our advantage, the better.
You know, I look, and I think for a lot of people, they think of, well, this is so new and kind of came out of nowhere. But like with most technology, it couldn't be further from the truth. All over when things hit the mainstream, it, you know, I think 2023 was the year of AI. It's like all of a sudden like January hit and there was ChatGPT and then it became all these other things. But how quickly it is growing and becoming mainstream, I think is really taken on a life of its own when you look at the amount of products or platforms that everybody's kind of getting in. Like people are like, oh, it's like the dot-com bubble. I'm like, yeah, it is and it isn't.
For sure. And I think it's one of those things we'll continue to see probably pretty much every organization utilize AI in some way. But I think like you're saying, it's similar to internet, right? Like it's a tool that anybody can use. It has a lot of great uses, but it will definitely, it's got to find its place. It's still a fairly new thing. I think a lot of people are still kind of figuring out how it fits into their business, how it fits into the world, things like that. But it's something that I think has great potential. Just how do we harness it and guide it in the right direction.
And that's kind of where I wanted to go a little bit. So let's kind of even go back even further. Let's give a layman's definition. How do you explain to somebody without saying, hey, because I think a lot of people's minds, they go to Terminator and Teledyne systems. But if we're talking about AI, right, how do you explain that to somebody as far as in the realms that we're utilizing it currently?
Yeah, so I personally like to look at AI as like a support chat. So it's something I can take my ideas to, I can take my work to, and kind of get that unbiased, educated opinion. And I think that's kind of the key to it too, is knowing what you're going in looking for. So, you know, with AI, it is one of those, if you go in super broad and just give it really broad things, you know, you're going to get some pretty broad answers. But if you can really hone it down and, you know, I am looking for these specific things, I need specific answers that fit these parameters, you get a lot out of it. So it's one of those things, it's almost like an artificial virtual assistant. Okay. someone or something that is there to help you bounce ideas off of, get advice from, help you conduct research. It's kind of like hiring a VA, but that you're probably going to have to work a little more one-on-one with, need a little more input. And then obviously isn't a real person. But I think it's one of those things that, you know, it's great to help you build onto other things. The same way, you know, with a virtual assistant, you're not going to hand them off your entire business all at once. You're going to get them started. Hey, I need you to answer my email. Now I need you to communicate with these clients, things like that. I think AI is the same way. You bring it into those entry level things, kind of use it to get the ball started, and then use your expertise to take it from there.
I think that's a pretty good, I like that, that virtual assistant kind of play to it. When I look at this for people, the startup side of this, I think it's one of those things that like all of a sudden you're into it, you're like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. People trip up over the idea of prompts, right? What is a prompt? Like, to me, I get it.
So,
like, how do I explain, say, hey, what's a prompt? Because that's where you gotta start with you might have an idea, but you have to have a prompt or a conversation with the AI.
For sure. And I think that kind of goes back to the same of, you know, treat it as though you are working with an assistant. When you first start working with an assistant or a freelancer or anybody that you're going to hand off a project to, usually you give them some kind of, hey, this is the goal of the project. This is what I'm trying to accomplish. These are typically the steps that I take to get there. Here's some examples of what it's supposed to look like. Like, it's all that stuff. You want to give that same thing to the AI, right?
So really, a prompt is a series of directions.
Yes. Yes. So there's a lot of information out there on building prompts. And what a lot of people have found through just working with AI and with research, especially with ChatGPT, the best way to build a prompt is you define the GPT's role. So for instance, if I wanted it to create social media captions for me, I might tell it something along the lines of, hey, you are a social media manager that specializes in, you know, high quality, engaging content for the real estate industry. So I've defined its role. I've kind of told it who it is, and then I'm going to tell it what I'm looking for. So then I would tell it, I need you to create a social media caption for Instagram around this post, which is about, and then I give it the detail. And then typically you want to provide it with some examples and then technical details. So, you know, with this social media caption, you want to include emojis, or you should be using at least 5 hashtags, or be sure you tag this account, things of that nature. Or, you know, if you're doing something else, you know, make sure this is presented in a spreadsheet or in plain text, or just kind of giving it those final parameters so it knows how to deliver it to you. And then typically if you kind of do that and then again, give it examples. So for instance, if I'm doing social media captions and I have, you know, hey, I've done some social media captions in the past, these performed really well. I'm just going to make a single document with all these examples and then give it to the GPT. So now it knows this is typically how I write. This is my tone. This is my voice. It's going to use that to craft it. I would say the same if you're doing, you know, email templates. Hey, here's some successful emails we've had in the past, or here's a successful campaign we had in the past. We want to replicate this. But kind of just defining the role, giving it pretty strict parameters on what you're looking for and how to deliver it, and then making sure that you're giving it examples so it knows this is kind of what it should look like.
I liked where this is kind of going here, because I think a lot of times I think back right now, I've been around the block a few hundred times now. And I think, and I reference Gary Vaynerchuk a lot, and I appreciate his mindset around like growing up in the 70s and the 80s and the sense of community that we had, right? Walking into the local deli and he knew how you liked your meat sliced and things like that, or the corner bar, and they knew things about you and your dad, right? And then we jumped into the big box stores of the 80s and 90s and everything got very cold and our marketing followed in suit, right? Predefined marketing material, cookie recipes, clean your gutters, for, you know, all that staleness that followed, right? But then we kind of got into social media, and social media allowed us to communicate on a global community level and customize our message, take that back, okay, and redefine who we were and how we talk to people just on a larger, broad scale. Now, I had the same conversations of this now saying, hey, are we going backwards now because we're losing my voice because I'm relying on... That's all right. We got kids and puppies following us all over. That's all good, right? So people's minds is like, hey, this ChatGPT, it's not me. But you just started to tell us, right, give it you first, right? So I think yes. When I'm creating a message, an email, or writing articles and newsletters, I actually will dictate what I want to say first, which is why I love this platform, because I am not the world's best typer. I'm not fantastic with grammatics. That was not ever my strong suit. However, I'm very good at creativity and what expressing myself and what I want to say. So I will use a Word document, and I probably could do it in ChatGPT, but I'm old. I use Word, dictate, say exactly what I want to say, load that, give it the direction, the prompts, and then it becomes me, although cleaning it up. I think that's what people miss is that it's your narrative. It's your verbiage. Don't let this, right? Don't just ask it a question, right? Hey, create an email marketing campaign for a luxury listing. It's going to, but it's not going to sound like you, right? Is that, that's what I'm hearing right. Say when you say, give it examples.
For sure. And that's something ChatGPT now with, I want to say it was maybe two iterations ago. It's been out for a little while, but if you have the pro subscription, which I think like $20 a month or something like yeah. that, but you can actually create. Yeah, but you can create your own ChatGPT bots, which is essentially, it's the ChatGPT base, but you're going in and kind of configuring it. And it's super user-friendly. They're not difficult. OpenAI makes it very easy. You basically have a conversation with it and tell it what you want it to do. But those are incredibly helpful if you know you have recurring processes that need to be done that you're going to constantly go back to. So for instance, in Changeover Media, we have, for each of our clients, I have a creative marketing bot, which I've told it, its role is essentially, hey, you are an assistant to the creative director of Changeover Media, and you will be specifically working on client X's projects. We do X type of work for client. This is what we expect. And then within that, the chatbot that I'm creating, I can upload documents to it as well. Now, the benefit to doing it this way instead of just keeping it in one chat with a single prompt is it will actually save these documents. It'll save all the configuration that I do. And anytime I open a new chat with that bot, it already has all that stuff preloaded. So for our clients, I build out the bot, and then the example material that I give it is the brand guidelines. We do like a full guideline document that says, hey, this is the client's voice, their tone. These are the services that they offer. Here's, you know, how they like to portray themselves. Here's a list of words to use and to not use. You know, here's how we handle industry lingo, like just giving it as much data as possible. And I try to do that in the same way that I would do it for one of our video editors or a VA that I was onboarding or anything like that, basically just onboarding it to the client, doing the same thing for the bot. And now that bot has the client guidelines preloaded. So if I go to it and say, hey, I need to make a video for X client that's going to highlight what they do, show their value, and market to target market A by doing blank. And then I'll tell it, you know, this is going to be a campaign of 60-second videos, 5 videos each, yada, yada. I can give it more data, but it's now going to take all the information I've given about the campaign and now also mix it with all the other data it's already been given about the brand. So with Changeover Media specifically, we have one for each of our clients. But then I also have, like, we have a social media bot, a YouTube bot, a podcast bot, we have one for each area that we do, and they're all formatted in, hey, you just handle our social media. Here is every single detail you need to know about our social media, how we present ourselves online, what we're doing with that. Here's example campaigns, everything. And then I go into it and say, hey, I need a social campaign for this post. Here's the transcript or a description of the post. And it gives me something that is formatted for the brand, follows the examples I've already given it, has our voice down, our tone, uses the correct hashtags, all of it. And it takes a little bit more in the beginning, but it's once you get that, I think it takes me maybe 30 minutes to an hour to build each bot. And once you have all that done, it's, I mean, you literally open up the chat, send it the message, and I get personalized results every single time.
So it's no different than when I talk to people all the time about, hey, building a website or a landing page or your brand in general, like there's still something cathartic about pencil to paper and mapping out what you want to do first versus just jumping down and spilling out, right? Because then you're not actually giving forethought or inspecting what you're trying to develop and you're just posting something, right? You can
exactly
plan, you can digitize it.
Exactly. And I will say it helps a lot to have that plan in the first place because you can always, if you have that saved as a PDF, Word doc, whatever, you can always give it back to ChatGPT and say, you know, hey, I like what you said here, but I don't think it quite follows the brand. Can you review this brand document and rewrite it to fit? And it's going to review that and redo it. And it'll save everything in your chat. It should refer back to that. Or you can always tell it like, you know, hey, I like this, but I don't feel like it's quite on brand. Can you please refer back to the original brand documents and confirm? And it just like you're going to work with a freelancer, an assistant, anything like that, you want to make sure you're giving that feedback and giving good feedback. And what I mean by good feedback is instead of, oh, I don't like this caption, you know, hey, I don't really like this caption because it feels too formal or impersonal. It doesn't feel like us. Can we adjust it so that it better fits our tone? You know, giving a little more feedback than just, I don't like it. And the more feedback you give it like that, the better you'll get those results. And then I always go in and if it's given me a bunch of great results recently, I save all those in a Word document. I go back, I update the chatbot that I created and give it those examples. And I tell it, hey, you created some great examples for me. I'm going to upload them to this chatbot. Please refer back to those in the future. And it'll tell you, great, no problem. I've got the data.
And I love that concept of saying, hey, this doesn't sound like me. But until you've utilized it enough, it doesn't know what me is defined as.
Exactly. And that's where those examples come in so handy. Where if you can hand off, you know, hey, here's, I was doing Instagram for a year before I started, you know, having AI do the captions. So here's, you know, some of the best captions that I had, or just going in and looking at, these were my top performing posts. So let me, you know, if it's a static image, ChatGPT or OpenAI can usually read the static images. So if it's, you did like a static image with an ad that had more information, like it can read all the text off of it, things like that. If it's a video, I always try to give it the transcript of the video, which you can usually do if you use Dropbox for media storage. I know they have like a free thing that'll transcribe for you. YouTube, there's tons of free things YouTube out there for it. Short videos. Yeah, there's plenty of them out there for short videos. Worst case, I know there's a program called Descript where you can get, if you do the free version, you can get free transcripts. If you export videos out with them, it'll have the watermark. But giving it the transcript so it knows exactly what's being said in the post and then the caption that came out of that. I found is super helpful for it.
So for people that are at home, I want you to, literally, I just want you to go to ChatGPT and kind of start looking, because really, like, I want to break this down for people to understand that on the surface, this is really nothing more than a Word doc to start, right?
Yeah, it's essentially you were writing directions for a project and feeding it into a bot and then answering the questions that it has. And I will say that's another tip too, is always adding in your prompts, you know, please ask any questions you have for clarity. Because I have noticed, especially in the beginning, if you haven't, you know, if you're still getting used to doing prompts, haven't properly defined roles, things like that, a lot of times it'll just kind of assume information that it doesn't have. Whereas if you tell it, please verify all information, provide sources, or, you know, please ask questions for clarity for anything that is unclear, you will sometimes get back, hey, I think I understand, but here's a couple questions. Or, you know, it'll ask you, you know, hey, I think this sounds great, but to make a social caption, I think I need the goal. Can you tell me? Like, it'll just ask you some follow-up. But it's really the best way to look at it is you're talking to an assistant is usually how I try to look at it, of just that kind of constant communication and feedback of, hey, this is good. This is great. This is perfect. Exactly what I was looking for, or this could be improved in this way.
So this is going to open up another door for a lot of people about Pandas, Boston, and there's that sharing scarcity of mindset to some things. I don't know how deep you feel comfortable going in these things, but let's talk a little bit about security, right? So if I'm developing my brand, my vintage, and this is reverbalizing, giving me suggestions, but one, where are those suggestions coming from? And two, at what point do my suggestions and my brand and my image help somebody else that I may or may not want to help?
Right. And so that is kind of the tricky area with it. So OpenAI does save your data. If you're using the regular chats, I know for sure they do. When you're creating your own chatbots, I think there is a check mark that says, you know, don't save my data or don't save my data. You know, you can use this to improve ChatGPT, things like that. As far as I know, the data that they are saving is typically the ChatGPT response, like answers and your responses to them. Because it's kind of trying to improve the AI as a whole. So it's not so much about the data that you're putting in. It's more looking at how is the AI interpreting that data? How are you, and then how are you responding to that? So did it give you a good answer? Was it a bad answer? Is it consistently giving you bad answers? Is it consistently giving you good answers? Things like that. Unfortunately, that is just kind of an issue with AI in general right now. I think that's part of why the costs are staying so cheap, is because most of those platforms are going to be using that to improve their own AI models. I would say my biggest tip with that is I typically don't give it really any personal information. So, I mean, it has, you know, like our company data. So, you know, but all that would also be public facing. So it's, you know, our public facing address, our public facing phone number, email, things of that nature. The same with clients. If I put anything in the client guidelines that gets uploaded to ChatGPT, it is things that would be client facing. So if it's something that's, you know, it gets leaked on the internet from OpenAI, it was already on the internet, on their website, Facebook page, whatever. So that would kind of be my one thing there. And I would say the other would be just trying not to feed it. If you do feel like you have things that are, you know, your personal IP that you're really trying to hold on to, I would either create your own bot and uncheck that option where it gives data back to ChatGPT. Or I know you can go through OpenAI's like API and build your own bot. That gets a lot more complicated. That's definitely a little outside of my wheelhouse. Sure. It's something I've experimented with. It's a little more on the programming side. So that's always an option too. That would be more secure because it's staying within your own API and things like that. But I would say just, you know, be wary of the personal data that you're putting in. But for the most part, it's the only time I would really be hesitant about that is if you're, you know, using ChatGPT to, hey, I need you to make a spreadsheet of all the people that I've contacted and it's got their personal phone numbers and email addresses or things like that. For the most part, it's when it's doing templates and things like that, I don't worry too much about it. The way I look at it, the majority of what ChatGPT creates for us is going out publicly anyway. So if somebody really wanted to, they could just go in and then take it off our stuff and feed it into ChatGPT anyway. Is kind of the way that I look at it for most of it. But I think it just kind of depends on the data that you have in there. But again, I will say with that, like I've never heard of any security breaches with ChatGPT or anyone having issues with that. It is my understanding that the majority of the data that they collect is hey, were you happy with that response, or are you constantly having to ask for revisions, things like that?
I think it's beware on the beholder and what you're utilizing it for.
Exactly.
Think about it, then don't say it. Right.
Right. If it's one of those things you are questioning it, I would just keep it private, or ask ChatGPT, you know, hey, I need to create a spreadsheet that helps me do this. Can you create the template for me? And then just upload the data yourself, or even ask it, what would be, you know, this is all the data that I have to upload. What would be the fastest way for me to do this? And it can usually give you some guidance there. But I think to your point, just if you're second guessing it and have to think about it, don't do it. If it's something that's public facing anyway, I wouldn't worry about it. If it's business information, most businesses, especially US businesses, have to have their address, phone number on their website anyway. So that I wouldn't be concerned about. But within the real estate industry and working with, you know, clients and stuff, I think, just if you're second guessing it, keep that part private and just let AI work on the templates.
Now, with it changing so quickly, right? There's different platforms out there. Obviously, I think ChatGPT, OpenAI is probably one of the most more popular, but you're seeing Apple get involved. And obviously now we're starting to see Elon Musk is getting involved at a higher level, right? He's kind of going all in on some of that. But then at the beginning, there was like the written word version of AI, then there was some imaging, but now they're seeing overlap. Are you consistently utilizing multiple platforms? Are you starting to feel comfortable around one? And we could touch on imagery above it, like how that gets created, but where are you seeing it going?
So we predominantly stick with ChatGPT, mostly just because I've gotten pretty good at building up the bots. So we do a lot of that. We keep our imaging with OpenAI. I've used DALL-E, like when DALL-E first came out, and it was kind of a standalone from ChatGPT. It's come so far since then. It's honestly really impressive. For the most part with imagery though, you can do that now in the chat. There is a DALL-E one. You can also, if you're creating your own bots, you can give it instructions to do that. The same thing in the settings where the data, question is, there's another one about, you know, can it create images? Can it search data? Things like that. So you just want to make sure, you know, yes, DALL-E is enabled. But it's getting much better. I will say some of the issues that we've seen with the imagery is it's not always the best at giving you the full image. So sometimes you have to do like, hey, can you create the background for me? Okay, great. Now can you create, you know, the title graphic for me or things like that? Where it seems to struggle is words and people. So I'm sure you've seen the, you know, AI images of people where they've got six fingers and, you know, an extra hand, or their hands are doing this or whatever. So that's an image or an issue that we've seen with it. And then text, for whatever reason, even when you give it the exact text that you want on there, sometimes it just throws in random letters, or it'll like add weird accents over some of the letters. Not really sure
it's
why.
Learning, right?
Yeah. It's yeah. Learning. Still learning. No. So I would say though, it's definitely still the same as your written. It requires a lot of feedback. But we've stuck mostly with that. I know in terms of like other, written platforms, we used one called Jasper in the past, which was very good. If you are someone that's more in copywriting and doing more copywriting, or have a bigger team where you're doing lots of emails that go out, lots of, maybe listing transactions, you know, things like that, lots of written work going out. It's something that could be beneficial. I think most of it you can do with ChatGPT, but like Jasper specifically is geared for like blog writing and things like they've got more templates. It's a little better for copywriting, like just the AI understands copywriting and sales a little better. And then there's some others that are out there. I know Canva now has some AI options that are pretty good. Same thing though, just requires a little extra feedback. There's some out there that'll do like music for you now, where you can get like a 30-second, you know, royalty-free clip because it's AI generated. Those are definitely still learning.
Yeah,
we've seen some weird stuff coming out of those. But yeah, there's tons out there. I think if there was anybody starting out, I would say start with ChatGPT, get comfortable with AI first, kind of understanding how it works, how to provide feedback, how to script things, how to write those initial prompts and things like that. And then look at what your specific use case is. So if you are somebody that's doing copywriting more, you know, maybe something like Jasper would be the better option. If you're doing more images and things like that, you know, maybe looking at doing DALL-E is like separate from ChatGPT, but maybe looking at doing DALL-E. Or I know there's other options out there. There's some video editors out there now too that use AI. I know CapCut is a big one.
Well,
same thing.
I've seen requires a little extra feedback. The voice, and I think people are starting to think about dialers and how does it learn who I am and how am I going to respond to automated calls? Like,
right.
That's just a matter of time in a more mass type environment, right?
And we've already started seeing it with chatbots. So we had partnered with a group, Growth Cali, that does some of these chatbots, and they actually made one for their brand that, I mean, the chatbot would take you pretty much to the close of the lead. And that was one of the things that the partner used to close the deals was, you know, so how have you liked talking to the chatbot so far? And people always are like, that was a chatbot? And we're like, yeah, that was AI. But again, it's, he spent the time to go in and really train it on his business. So I think it's one of those things. It's the tools are definitely there. I think we're definitely going to see a lot of that stuff a lot more accessible. It's just going to kind of depend on, do you have either the time or money to put in to train it for you? Well, but I think the chat bots, I think, are going to be huge.
What about, you know, like, again, I'm just kind of going off the cuff here, but imagine a world where I say, hey, listen, chatbot XYZ, go watch my 110 podcast episodes, figure out how Dave talks and asks questions, and build my, you know, my responsive chat for my clientele around Dave's information and knowledge.
Yep. And so the one I mentioned, a script where you can pull the transcript. So its main purpose is actually for like podcasts and things like that. It's meant for recording podcasts, but more if you're doing, you know, if you had your own pod, just you talking,
right.
Not really so much for interviews. But part of one of their features is when you're doing these podcasts, if I, you know, did a whole podcast on my own, and realized, you know, I was saying the wrong brand name or I pronounced something wrong, I can actually go into the script, highlight what I said wrong. And if I've done enough podcasts, I think it has to have like 100 hours of you speaking or something like that, but you can just like upload videos so it has that data. But I can actually highlight that word, correct it, and AI will change my voice to say it properly. I don't have to re-record it, or I can re-record it and it'll splice it in and use AI to make it sound like it was part of the original recording. So the tools definitely exist. I think it's just kind of a, how long will it take us to get there? But they're definitely there. I mean, we've seen it already within just video editing and photo editing and things like that. There used to be so much that we would tell people like, I'm so sorry, we can't remove that because it's video. We have this cable here, you know, this was on the wall. No, I'm sorry, because it's video. It's a very complicated process. And now we're like, oh yeah, no problem. The AI can do it. And it's, I mean, you circle stuff and AI is like, oh, you don't want that there? Okay, here's a perfectly matched wall. I've seen where other creators have done, they've built an entire studio. I mean, they'll have just this and they'll build an entire studio around them using AI video and make it look like they're in this massive studio when really they had like maybe 10 feet.
That's crazy.
So,
well, listen, Brittany, yeah. This has been very enlightening. And I think I want, what if I have the takeaways for the audience at home, I want them to realize like, yes, this is incredibly rapid and it's nearly impossible to stay in front of everything that's happened. But like any other piece of technology, while I do believe this is moving a lot faster, just getting in at any level, and like you said, and just play around with it, just like we did with social media, right? Start with as a voyeur to a degree and talk to it, post things. You have to get over that scarcity mindset and understand that it's leveraged in your world and it's here to stay, right? This isn't going anywhere. And have the right conversations with it and your team and yourself about how you can leverage it and use it, not to redefine who you are, but use it as leverage.
For sure. And I think to that point, especially if you are going to experiment with it, but start off with AI and social media. Start with your social captions. See if it can write better captions for you, or you can feed it some examples of other people and it can get something that's a little more engaging or captivating that you can just go in and edit and improve upon. Or the same, if you're doing videos, have it script some of your videos. You know, the first couple ones you do probably aren't going to be that great, but have it script some, give it feedback, correct it, and, you know, go from there. But yeah, start with small stuff. Use it to template your email. I mean, I use it to template emails all the time. I'll tell it, hey, I need to send out an email about this. It's going to this type of client about this, and it gives me a perfectly templated email. And that's one of the best ways to start, because you can go in with this stuff that you are constantly reusing, you know you're going to use again, improve it, feed that back to it, and now it understands your brand, your voice, and you all much better. And to a, I would say to a personal degree, you can do that as well. I actually have a basically life assistant bot that I've built out that I go in every couple months and give it an updated list of my life goals and tell it, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. This is what I want to do in the next year. And then I can go back to that bot at any point and it understands me because I've given it so much data and say, hey, given what you know about me, I'm trying to accomplish X. What's the best way for me to go about that? And it'll actually take into account me and my personality and all that. And the same with the brand too, you know, with Changeover Media, if we do it, hey, I want to do this, given what you know about the brand, how do I do this? And it takes into account everything you fed it and tries to give you more personalized results, which I think is really just what you need with marketing. You know, I know you've had a lot of people on here talking about social media and authenticity in it. And I think to your point earlier, you know, we are moving away from big box stores. People want the small business. They want that personal connection. They want that authenticity. And social media and utilizing that AI to get those base pieces is a great way to be able to personalize the message while still staying professional on brand and on message.
Thanks for bringing it back to that, because that is really what I want people to understand, that while it's leverage, it's still you. It's just you in a more polished or different way, but you ultimately have the control of what that looks like.
Exactly. It's a tool you are using to heighten you and your brand.
Listen, Brittany, I really appreciate this. I feel like I could talk for another 40 minutes on this. Maybe we'll have to do a part due to this, maybe even create a class around this. So for those of you that are watching and listening at home and you would like to see a class or me and Brittany into more details from examples, hey, ping us, right? Maybe we'll put something together online around that. But anyways, thanks for joining us. Everybody, thanks for listening at another episode of Entrepreneur on Impact. And we'll catch you next week. Thanks, Britt.
Thanks so much for having me.